Welcome to the Muse Dreams Podcast, a place to discover how to bring your art out of hiding or to the next level. I'm your host, Mia Walters. I'm an artist, the creator of the Muse Activation Method, and a certified active dreaming and intentional creativity teacher. I will be your guide on this adventure to awaken your creative inspiration at the source. Hello, it's Mia Walters, and today we're going to explore one of the most transformational aspects of the Muse Activation Method, deep inquiry. This is the key to unlocking all of the potential inside of us, creatively and spiritually. Asking the right questions can reveal what has been holding us back, blocking us, and bringing out into the light that which inspires us the most. And today, I have a special guest joining me to dive deep into this topic, Kayla Novak. Kayla is a fellow artist, a writer who is passionate about using art as a tool for self-discovery and transformation, and who happens to be my daughter. Welcome to the show, Kayla.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, to kick things off, let's talk about what deep inquiry is and why it's so transformative in the creative process. For me, deep inquiry is about asking ourselves powerful questions to uncover limiting beliefs, fears, patterns, and what lights us up, what we most desire, and most importantly, I think, why and where we want to go, but not only in life, but in our art. It's about shining a light on those hidden parts of ourselves and creating, you know, space for growth. And I know you and I have gone through several Muse Activation Method workshops together, and just wanted to get into conversation with you a little bit about what does deep inquiry mean to you? How do you see it playing a role in your own creative process?
I think in all the times that we've gone through the Muse Activation Method have been really powerful, and just taking some of those things into other parts. And I think one of the biggest things is like letting it become what it's meant to be organically without forcing like an image of what you think it should be or like what you think others thinks it should be. So I think that's like the biggest thing is taking away that pressure. Yeah. And so it was very helpful, like learning about that in the workshops that I did with you.
Yeah. Some of the topics that we've explored have been the kind of being at the edge of the liminal space or being in the liminal space of change. So we explored kind of what was, you know, what we're coming out of, what we were before, that place of change where you're not quite what you are yet, and then standing at the threshold because you don't necessarily know what you're going to be yet either. So I felt like that one, we went through that one a couple of different times, and the inquiry used during that one felt like it was sort of the navigation system to get to the through the threshold a little bit.
Yeah, I also thought it was cool how like revisiting that topic 2 years later, seeing what things are different and what things are the same. And even within like the second one, like I wasn't expecting to like visit my like child self or my inner child.
Yeah.
But like it just like happened. And I feel like with deep inquiry, like you got to let whatever happens happen. So yeah, that was really cool.
And shining a light on kind of how the deep inquiry can uncover the hidden blocks, or, and not necessarily only blocks, really. It's kind of like shining, you know, or illuminating the path, so to speak. Because I think there are oftentimes there can be hidden blocks, but, you know, and especially like when we're stuck in our creativity, like if somebody's doing this just in their daily practice of art. But I think as far as like being blocked in general, asking questions, it just starts to like open the doors because you get, I, at least for me, I get so used to doing the same things over and over, you know, looking at something in a different way by just asking different questions can bring to light so much. Have you experienced a moment of being kind of creatively stuck? And are there any questions, or what questions have you asked yourself to kind of uncover what's really going on, or what's helped you get unstuck creatively with that?
I think if I'm feeling stuck, sometimes I take a little bit of a break, because I think creativity can be expressed in like any aspect of your life, whether you're just cooking dinner or going on a walk or something like that. So I think that's very helpful to get like inspiration to maybe get over a block. But I think also like any guiding questions help so much, to kind of explore, any topics deeper, like almost like those, like, the ink blot like things in psychology.
Yeah.
It's like you almost like let
a Rorschach or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. Like you let your subconscious kind of come out a little bit and let like tell you what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's like really helpful when I'm blocked.
Yeah. I definitely keep kind of a collection of questions to ask myself, because sometimes it's one of those things too where you don't know the question to ask to uncover this, you know, to help unblock or uncover what you need to move on. So I do keep, you know, in my journals, various questions, and I love going back and rereading those answers, because that in itself like can help to, you know, get the creative juices flowing again, or get me out of a slump if I, you know, start listening again to like the inner critic or the dreaded comparison monster rears its head up or something like that. I can always go back, reread those inquiries, and then apply it to that present moment. So that I just love doing that too. And I totally agree with you about like anything can be an act of creativity, cooking dinner, going on a walk, by just observing, you know, everything around you in a way, in a different way, you know, with just looking at the beauty of things. So, yeah. And one of the keys to deep inquiry is asking the right questions, as we were talking about. And when I feel like hesitant on a project, I might ask myself, what story am I telling myself about this? What am I really afraid of losing here? Especially, you know, the comparison thing. Are there any questions that you found helpful in your own process, or do you have any that you would recommend to others that have served you in kind of uncovering some gems and getting your creativity to flow?
I think I start out larger and more general, like what is this trying to tell me right now, or what like am I trying to express right now, or like you said, what story am I trying to tell right now? And that's really helpful. And then if I don't feel like that's helping me get unstuck, we talked a little bit before the podcast about like morning pages, even though, yeah, we do them in the afternoon pages. But I think like kind of just having that like brain word vomit for 3 pages, and then you get to organize your thoughts and be like, oh, like I didn't realize that like I was thinking so much about this, or that these things are connected, or like you kind of like get to make sense of it, and it helps to like have direction, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And morning pages, if anyone listening doesn't know what that's from, it's from the book The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And we joke about morning pages. It's the practice is to kind of wake up in the morning and as a practice just write, I think it's 2-3 pages. I don't know if that's 3 pages or a certain amount of time or however I don't remember, but, and it could be about anything. It could be literally gibberish. It's just like, I think it's the practice, the actual practice and the act of writing and kind of getting things off your mind and then being able to kind of do that first to then inspire, you know, your art and creative practice. And I forget to do it all the time. I love the idea. I love it. But I end up doing it in the afternoon. And or my actual time that I do most of my writing like that is in the evening, kind of before bed. I think it kind of serves me to then go to bed without that like roof brain chatter, the monkey mind going off. Mm. But yeah, I do love the concept.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's kind of similar. Like you're just supposed to write whatever and just not stop until you fill 3 pages. And it's kind of like that same thing of not putting pressure on your thoughts to be something.
Mm, yeah.
And so you let like whatever's in there like come out and then maybe you can make sense of it later, but it's just allowing it to be what it is.
Yeah.
Which is helpful.
That's helpful too with like painting, just to approach,
mm-hmm.
especially like an art journal. That's where I love doing that is whatever is coming out to just paint, experiment with color or whatever. And sort of in a way, morning pages of just art and creativity. And then as far as kind of going back to deep inquiry again, it's not necessarily something that I do just before a piece. It can happen during the act of creating. When we're doing the Muse Activation Method, we oftentimes will even take breaks and kind of reconvene when we're doing it in a workshop setting and go back to quieting the mind. And it can happen too, like just observing the painting, and those questions can kind of come up. I like to think of it as kind of like the painting speaking to me, like almost like an oracle, where we look at the painting, observe it. It's like a conversation between me and the canvas, or, you know, in the workshop, conversation between all of us and our paintings so far, like just looking at the journey so far. And do you find that deep inquiry happens while you're creating, or do you usually approach it before or after, or how does it impact the way you work?
That's a good question. I think usually not during as much, because I feel like the act of painting is just so therapeutic that I'm like, brain is empty and it's bliss.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. So maybe I'll do it before just to have direction. And then afterwards to be like, oh, that's not necessarily direction. Like, why did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, not necessarily during. Do you? Oh, no, you mentioned.
Yeah, definitely I do. And not necessarily like I'm painting along and I stop and do it. It's not like that. It's sometimes you come to a stopping point, or if I'm in the middle of a painting and I go back to that painting, I'll do it then. I'll ask myself questions about it, especially the ones I'm working on lately, which are going to be future oracle decks. Mm-hmm. So they're each kind of telling a deep story as it is. And it's almost like a dialogue with that story, with that painting. And if there is like an archetypal being in the painting with that being. So, yeah, I do that a little bit.
Can I ask about, I know about your oracle deck, the deep inquiry and having to have like a message between for each card for when the person pulls it, and then they have the message that comes along with it. How does deep inquiry fit with that process? Like, do you make the concept first? Do you make the art first? And then where does that fit in there?
So far, with the decks that I've been working on, the first one, the art came before the meaning of the card. So the art was intuitively led, and it led to what is this meaning for most of them. Some of them, the meaning came, and then the art was developed from that. And then those inquiries or descriptions, I guess, came from a little bit of a combination. Now, these paintings that I'm doing are being informed in a little bit different ways. One of them is one that I started working on with you, actually, and we kind of went into the painting itself with a concept. And so from that concept, the questions are being asked. Now, another one was the painting came forth from the concept or the question, like what, and I could share a little bit about it. It's about adaptability. And it was kind of like, well, what does adaptability look like? And then by asking that and just like, I guess, maybe being with that inquiry for a while. So it wasn't just like I asked it and wrote something down and then that was the end of it. It was like being with that inquiry of adaptability. And, you know, I would start seeing like animals in my life, like the foxes in the neighborhood informed the painting and the adaptability of a fox and the concept of that. And so, I don't know, it works in different ways.
That's an interesting concept of like letting, like after deep inquiry, letting it like breathe and then seeing it in your life.
Yeah.
Is that like done on purpose or is this that just something that organically happened?
I think both, especially with how I use oracle cards in my own practice. I can pull like one of my favorite inquiries as far as like using it in conjunction with oracle cards is what am I not seeing or what do I need to see like today or about this topic or, you know, what do I need to see about my art practice or something? And Tom has made me some little cards, you know, holders. And so I'll place the card there and then visit that answer with the question because it's usually asked in regards to something. Sometimes it can just be about my day, you know, kind of helps me to open my mind up to witnessing the day and what's around me a little differently. And so, yeah, just using it as I go or sometimes, you know, just, I don't know.
Yeah, I have another question.
Okay.
So, I know, I'm sorry I'm for interviewing you. No, I just, a lot of things that you were talking about brought up some things I've been thinking about. I think in my life, there's several different avenues where I'm very inspired to be creative in different mediums. And it can be difficult to juggle them and feel like I'm giving the appropriate amount of attention to all of these things that I'm inspired about. I just wonder about the muse activation method and how it can apply to mediums other than painting, because I haven't used it for any other medium.
Yeah, usually we do it in like, as far as like my sharing of it with others has been done in, you know, kind of a workshop setting, even if it's a one-on-one. But it would be kind of the same where you set your intention. What do you want to get out of this? What is your intent with that piece of art? Say, we'll use the example of writing. You can do that with a broader project or you can do it with just writing as a practice. I'm going to sit down and write, and I'm going to take, you know, this theme and this intention, and then you go into the deep inquiry about that, and then you go into, you know, you can definitely use it to, like, the active dreaming part of it. And then when you come out of that, you do your, you know, would do your same writing practice. But then that writing practice could then extend into the writing that you're doing for a book, or, you know, just to practice your writing. Oracle cards and using your intuition. That kind of comes back, you know, in the context of painting, to inform the painting with symbols and things like that. So you could take that with your writing and form the writing with the symbols.
That's really cool. I never thought to do the same thing, although it makes sense.
Yeah. And now, as far as, like, looking at life as art, I think you could do that and apply it to your actual life too. It's I think it could be used as a method to, because if you think about the muse being the source of creativity, and life itself is a creative act, really, it could be used
in shout just out Rick Rubin.
Yeah, we'll have to have a whole episode about that. Hey, and maybe, Rick, if you're listening, maybe you could come on the show and talk with us. You never know. You never know about these things. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's really cool to think about using deep inquiry in every aspect of your life, because life is art and life is the creative act. It's just living. In a lot of ways. But, like, I'm just trying to think of ways to apply that to, like, mundane tasks that you don't think are creative. Like, I used the example of cooking dinner. We could totally, like, use deep inquiry, I guess, in that. And, like, how is this going to nourish me? Why? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's really cool, because I think you can always have more intentionality in your life.
Yeah, definitely. And if you think of, I think of cooking, it's very much an art form. I mean, you can go, you know, open up a can of SpaghettiOs, I suppose. But even that, there's, like, the can itself has, you know, somebody designed that and created that. It's so that it's got, like, your visual aesthetic. It engages all your senses with the smell of the food, the taste of the food, how the food looks. You can think about and be intentional of where it came from, how it's serving your body.
Yeah, I, like, also wonder about, like, creating versus consuming. Like, consuming art and media and food, but also creating food and art and media. So I wonder if it's the same deep inquiry for both consuming and creating.
Well, I think you could probably flip it on its, you know, on its head a little bit, and even have the act of consumption be a creative act, depending on how you look at it. If you're mindlessly consuming, I think you're not engaging.
Tuning in.
Yeah, you're not tuning in, and you're not engaging your senses and everything. So,
just like going on that walk.
Yeah. The walk is the creative act.
Yeah.
And something that I think, if you look at it, like, in a broader sense of your life and using this method, it allows us, you know, when you engage in that deep observation, even, you know, inquiry, is that allows us to kind of recode limiting beliefs or things that, you know, might be holding us back from reaching the next level in our art, in our lives, relationships, and then creating space for growth. We can, you know, take it and become expansive in that space through asking those questions, reframing how we see things. Have you experienced kind of that recoding of limiting beliefs through using like deep inquiry or observation or kind of seeing life as a creative act? And is there any examples that, you know, where you shifted your mindset or saw a breakthrough in your creative work?
I guess there's two things that stick out. The first one and most recent was when we did the manifestation painting workshop together.
It was manifestation with the muse, and mm-hmm. we painted the kind of like an archetype being of our manifested self.
Yeah, so in that one, I definitely felt like I worked through a lot of limiting beliefs with writing, because I painted myself as like a very successful author, and now I have it like hanging over my desk, and so I see her a lot, and I think that's been really powerful, because I think like symbols are really powerful, and that's a symbol of like the limiting belief that I replaced with like the opposite of a limiting belief. What's the opposite of a limiting belief? A positive belief?
Expansive
belief. Yeah, that feels right.
Mm-hmm.
So that one for sure. And then also in the beginning of like my painting history, I guess, when I started painting and I was trying to get better and learn the basics, it was very difficult for me to paint things just that I came up with. It was a lot easier to like find things that inspired me online and be like, okay, I'm gonna recreate this but put my own spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I never felt like I could just create something out of nothing. So going through the painting workshops and using deep inquiry and the muse activation method, like those first few paintings, I was like, holy cow, like I never would have painted anything like that without that. And I feel like that was a really like groundbreaking thing, getting over those limiting beliefs that I couldn't do that.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, I feel like it is, and hearing that, that's kind of the core of the why that I even do all of this as like service to others, is to hear that this method and this way of looking and approaching creativity can bring the next level, and then the next level beyond that, because the painting itself was kind of a healing process and looking at and shining the lights on those kind of things where, oh, you know, being a published author or completing a book is something for somebody else. I can't do that, or who am I to think that I could do that, or whatever the, you know, that inner dialogue is that leads to those beliefs. And then to be able to go through the deep inquiry, the dreaming, but, you know, obviously, first of all, it's setting that intention, getting that energetic alignment with that intent. And then kind of, I think our subconscious mind and our belief system in general speaks in symbols.
Mm-hmm.
So by having that in a way, your desk where you write is kind of the altar to the writing, to the creation of the writing. And that's like the centerpiece of that. So that makes me feel amazing to hear that. And yeah. And I, you know, have learned so much from my mentors and how to do all of this. And then kind of like what you're saying, just putting a little bit of a spin on it. I guess it's kind of that, but it's also, you know, taking things from my own experience and putting it together into a particular process that I feel like helps kind of, I know this is going to sound obvious, activate the muse. No. I really appreciate that, you know, you were willing to sit down and talk to me about this. You know, I do have a little gift for anybody that is listening, it's just a list of inquiries. So sometimes you can say use deep inquiry, but how do you know what are the right questions to ask? So it'll just be a little PDF available on musedreams.com to download for free that, you know, it'll just give you some ideas. You can take those inquiries to your painting. You can just take them into your day, to your morning pages, afternoon or evening pages, whatever you'd like. And just wanted to thank you for joining me in conversation about this. And just wanted to say, you know, as we wrap up, that I'd love to hear, you know, any final thoughts that you might have about, you know, how deep inquiry can change not just our art, but our lives. Anything else that you want to add? Or
I definitely changed my life and my art practice, and I think what you're doing is amazing.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and I think the most transformative changes were ones I didn't even see coming, like I didn't expect. And so, yeah, it changes every aspect of your life. You see everything different.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely.
And thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, and I hope that you know, you'll be able to come on again sometime. There's like so many topics that we can talk about with creativity and kind of taking this framework and talking about those things and how they might interact with it all. So, yeah, and thank you again. And I just encourage all of those listening to just start asking those powerful questions and seeing where they take you, both in your art and in your life. And, you know, please find that PDF with the deep inquiries on musedreams.com. The prompts were designed to help you uncover limiting beliefs, fears, blockages that foster growth, clarity, and alignment with your creative journey. And if this episode resonated with you, be sure to share it and leave us a review. It really helps us to spread the word. And until next time, keep dreaming, keep creating, and remember, the muse within you is always ready to guide your journey. Thank you so much for listening to the Muse Dreams podcast. Follow us on your favorite social media at Muse Dreams Art and on our website at musedreams.com for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and to sign up for the Muse Letter and more. If you have questions or show topics, I'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas, so feel free to reach out and connect. Muse Dreams, a podcast for artists, dreamers, and spiritual seekers on the path of creative discovery.